pressure starts in my throat. It's heavy while it can often still get me to publish a podcast. In the end, it heightens my cortisol levels so high that my body is almost in this fight or flight response, often don't show up the best version of Camden possible. Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I am so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled Pressure with ADHD. I wanted to thank so many of you for the reviews that you've given, for the honest feedback, and to remind you that your reviews, whether it's on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to this podcast, are so appreciated. And not only that, they can really help other people learn more about their own ADHD, specifically through the context of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. If you have not made a review, thank you in advance for doing so. Get ready for something quite extraordinary. This December 2023 in Mindful, we are thrilled to announce an immersive 3-day course in our group ADHD coaching sessions, delving into the realms of self-concept and identity. If you are unfamiliar with Mindful, it is my ADHD group coaching subscription. It's $97 a month during the time of this podcast. And we, as a whole, come together and we learn about ADHD. We get coached on ADHD, life, business, parenting, everything. And this month in particular, we're getting ready for the new year by learning more about who we are. Why is self-concept and identity so important for the ADHD community? Imagine this is like a roadmap for your personal growth journey. We're going to be peeling back the layers, exploring not just what defines us on the surface, but also diving deeper into the core of who we are. It's an opportunity to understand the intricacies of your unique identity. So I hope you join us. We're going to navigate through what makes up our current selves and discover the power within to make positive changes. No matter where you currently find yourself, this course is for you. It's not only a course. It could be a transformative experience, guiding you toward a clearer, more confident version of yourself. So don't miss out on this empowering December series. I'm very excited. It's more than just coaching. It's a journey towards self-discovery and positive change. If you'd like to read more information about Mindful, please visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful. Pressure is not just one noted. Pressure can be positive. It can be negative. It can be useful. It can be harmful. And it's very relatable. People with ADHD feel pressure in a variety of different ways, and sometimes pressure can actually be our friend. If you've ever heard of gamifying a chore or a task, this adds an element of pressure in order to help us accomplish a task that otherwise would seem quite mundane. And today, that's what we're going to be delving into. I'm going to start with a definition: positive pressure. It's associated with effort, challenges, and the expectation of relief. Positive pressure knows that it won't have to be intense for forever. Positive pressure feels rewarded and willing to stick around because it knows the relief that's coming eventually. If you think about lifting barbells, lifting weights, we know that we want to lift those up and get them high into the air using our muscles because we know eventually we'll be able to put them down. And the pressure to do that sometimes is the challenge of how many repetitions we can do, how much weight we can lift up, or just the idea of toning our muscles, the pressure of trying something new and pushing our body to a different degree of stress. That could be obviously misused, but in this healthy case, it can be used to actually help our body become stronger. Now, on the other side, negative pressure is rooted often in fear, in survival instincts, and in stress. We talk about this kind of pressure as anxiety a lot. I'm not talking about diagnosed generalized anxiety. I'm talking about the emotion of anxiety. Negative pressure comes up a lot. We may start as a child fearing an adult that's putting pressure on us to perform for fear that we might not be loved or valued or accepted. And that could be interpreted or misinterpreted, you know, however our tiny brain came up with. Regardless, negative pressure isn't always helpful for us in the end. It may get us a result that appears to be helpful, but in the end, we end up having a lot of negative consequences. So why would it be helpful to do a podcast about pressure? Specifically, pressure with ADHD and pressure for an audience who are churchgoers. Pressure, anxiety, all of these things can come to us with ADHD when we feel inadequate. And it's important to recognize that we have choice in the matter, that we don't have to fall victims of pressure or people pressuring us. That, in my humble opinion, is not godly. When Christ was on the earth, he said, "Follow me." He didn't stand behind his disciples and push them and hurt them and force them to do what he wanted. He walked ahead or side by side, even holding a hand, being equally yoked to the people that he wanted to learn from him. And he showed them the way kindly and gently and courageously. But never, from my recollection in this very moment, with intense amounts of pressure. Does that mean that we can't ever have high expectations for each other? You're going to be the judge of what that expectation is. And you're going to have to decide for yourself whether it is actually helping you or not helping you. So, positive pressure with ADHD is like an optimal challenge. Positive pressure can help individuals with ADHD focus and engage when tasks provide the right level of challenge. This is that gamifying idea. This could be us setting a timer and saying, "All right, I want to get my laundry done within the next 15 minutes. And then we start folding and it's a race against the clock. I've recently started doing breath work and I have been blown away. No pun intended. I've been blown away with how long I actually can hold my breath. There was some aspect of holding my breath that used to be fearful, but now the kind pressure by a breathwork coach holding space for me allows me to feel safe and to trust my body that it will know when to let out the air, release the air. And that positive pressure of getting to know my body, getting to know my lungs, getting to know my breath pushes me outside of my comfort zone and in the end results in this very relaxed and almost euphoric feeling of holding breath and releasing breath when within oneself. It's been so inspiring. So dopamine release is another aspect of that, and I feel like breath work is part of that. Dopamine release is positive pressure activities that can stimulate dopamine release, aiding in attention and motivation. So this could be running a couple of laps before you get into your homework. This could be performing on a stage. This could be what I do every morning when I put, you know, go live on my phone and I read the scriptures. It releases an aspect of dopamine that then puts me into this pressure of, oh, someone's going to show up. I want to make sure that I'm there for them and I want to make sure that I'm there for myself. Another aspect of positive pressure is task variation. And us ADHDers love that. We often struggle with sustained attention, but we thrive with dynamic and challenging environments. We love when things are a little bit wonky, when things are a little bit out of the blue. We love a little bit of a scare or a roller coaster. And I think that it's absolutely awesome and very ironic too, that we also hate change at the same time in transitions. So task variation comes up a lot when we think of exercise. When I talk about making a menu of possibilities instead of assigned tasks. So task variation, maybe if I want to exercise, these are all the possibilities of ways that I could move my body today. If I want to hydrate, these are all the possible ways I could hydrate. If I want to connect with God, these are all the possible ways I can connect with God. Okay, task variation puts pressure on us, okay, to have sustained attention, but allows us to do it in a way where we feel like we have choice. And, you know, there might be some curveballs, might do things a little bit new. I remember my sister started attending a nearby, Christian church, non-denominational Christian church. And I had been a fan of K-Love radio station for many, many years. And so I told her I wanted to go attend her church with her. And I remember the worship service and the band that was there and the movement and people standing up and putting their hands in the air and the swaying and the praising and how fun that was for me. And then I believe it was even the same Sunday I went and attended my home ward, my own congregation that worships a little bit more quietly and without as much movement and is usually accompanied by an organ or a piano. And it's just more traditional, I guess you could say. And even the contrast of going from my sister's congregation to my home ward congregation was enough difference that I felt excited in both places. It kept my attention differently, even though I'd been to my own church service thousands of times. It kept my attention differently because of the contrast, because things were different. My dopamine was inspired, if you will. I was inspired. I was seeing things through a new perspective because of the experience I had had with that variation of worship. Living with ADHD can be a daily challenge, but there's hope. I'd like to introduce you to Mindful, my ADHD group coaching program, a lifeline for those navigating the complexities of ADHD. At Mindful, we provide you with valuable tools to manage ADHD symptoms, emotional support and understanding, and a non-judgmental community that gets what you're going through. We focus on enhancing your self-awareness, developing coping strategies, and nurturing your emotional well-being. Join a diverse, open-minded group of ADHD adults where you're never alone on this journey. Mindful is here to support you. Visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful today to start your path toward a more mindful life. So negative pressure with ADHD is an overwhelming stress. Negative pressure can lead to overwhelming stress, hindering focus, and cognitive function in individuals with ADHD. As an entrepreneur, I can tell when I start operating off of pressure more than operating off of curiosity or confidence or peacefulness or clarity. Pressure starts, and I can feel it like as I'm talking to you, pressure starts in my throat. It's heavy on my chest. And while it can often still get me to publish a podcast or get me to make a post or to send an email off, in the end, it heightens, and we'll talk about this in a sec, but heightens my cortisol levels so high that my body is almost in this fight or flight response. And I often don't show up the best way, best version of Camden possible. So we have to be a little bit careful when we're talking about the negative pressure that comes with ADHD and stressing ourselves out. This feeling of always being behind that we've talked about in this podcast can offer us some examples of pressure, the ability or the desire that we have to mask and pretend like we don't have underdevelopment of the prefrontal cortex of our brain when we're around people, that can add a lot of pressure to perform and be somebody who we're not. The idea of letting people down because we know that we have this disability and doing our best and feeling like that if we just try harder, somehow we won't let people down. All of that negative pressure is maybe getting us momentarily to an end result that works, you know, so we get to the event on time. We remember all of the things that we need to, we show up and we're, you know, dressed to the nines, like we're supposed to, or act the way that we're supposed to, quote unquote. And when we get home, we often feel absolutely exhausted because that pressure was so intense. We had to hold it all together for, you know, the hour or 2 hour long event, that when we get home, we are just so drained. What would this be like? It feels like, I know what it is. I watched The Sound of Music with my daughters this Thanksgiving break. And it's that song, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? My daughter said, Mom, we can't pin clouds down. It was like the most adorable 7-year-old comment. I said, that's exactly right. Maria has this big personality. She loves to sing and to dance and to move her body. And she's just this free spirit. But in the nunnery, if I'm saying that correctly, in the church, that's not always welcome. And so she's meant to be this floating cloud, but they're trying to pin her down. You know, how do you catch a wave upon the sand? Negative pressure often forces those clouds with multiple pins down and doesn't feel comfortable for that person because they're not meant to be pinned down to the ground. They're meant to be floating in the sky. So positive pressure in that regard would look much different than negative pressure. Positive pressure for that cloud might be, hey, I wonder how far I can expand these, you know, water particles in the sky, and then it reaches out super far. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Or it might be, hey, I wonder how much of that lake I can absorb through evaporation. Like maybe that would be positive pressure from the cloud. It's fulfilling its purpose. It's not trying to be something that it's not. Okay. The other thing that we come up against a lot with ADHD and negative pressure is procrastination and avoidance. Fear-based pressure may contribute to procrastination and avoidance behaviors in ADHD individuals. For example, you want to hang some lights out on your back patio, and you are so afraid that you're not going to follow through all the way with this task that you just don't start it ever. And so the box of the lights just continue to collect dust on the top shelf while you're still out in the backyard in darkness, and you never move forward on the actual act of installing the lights. This is a negative pressure where we are saying, if we don't follow through all the way, then we must be a failure. Then we're giving ourselves evidence of more things that we don't do right. And that negative pressure is then a self-fulfilling prophecy that we don't actually even start. That's also not helpful. And in Mindful and in with my coaching clients, this is what I help them see, is what would happen, worst case scenario, if you do put half of the lights up and you don't get to the other half. And we work through that, and we help our bodies recognize that that's just life. It might have something to do with ADHD. It might not, but that's just life. So what will you do when this happens, if that's the worst case scenario? You're going to put a notification in your phone. You're going to find a block of time to go back and finish it. You're going to lock the exterior door so the kids don't get out there. Like, what are you going to do? And it's so interesting that when we give our brain, when we answer our brain the question of what if we don't finish, when we answer that, it gets satisfied. And it says, oh, I'm no longer feeling that pressure of fear of failure. In fact, I'm feeling quite empowered. I'm feeling quite in charge, feeling quite prepared. All right, let's go do this. And so now it shifts more into an emotion that allows progress to be made. Why would pressure and ADHD and faith, all three, work together? Positive pressure can be used righteously in faith to challenge and grow spiritually. And this may be an unpopular opinion, and it might not be your lived experience, but I have taken note of the self-discipline that I have had to exercise over the years because of the gospel principles, and how that has actually, in my opinion, helped me with a lot of my ADHD symptoms. Learning to obey the word of wisdom, the law of chastity, to keep the Sabbath day holy by going to church and then refraining from other activities, including purchasing things, et cetera, et cetera. And we all have our ways of living these commandments. I feel like that really helped me develop some incredible self-discipline while I was young, that has then also helped me as an adult. Even learning how to fast when I was a teenager, and feeling that hunger and recognizing that I was still okay and that I was going to make it through, and giving that pain and that discomfort to a higher power, to Heavenly Father, to remember Christ or other people that needed me. Like, that selflessness was really, really beneficial for me to see that I could have a positive experience in discomfort. And so I feel like if these types of principles and commandments are lived in a compassionate and an understanding in a healthy way, that positive pressure to feel discomfort or to be a little different than our peers or to lean more into confidence or self-assuredness or faith, that those can be really helpful aspects to help us when we are financially trying to survive, or when we want to be impulsive in other aspects of our adulthood. And so I'm really thankful for that, for those principles that were taught to me. On the other side of the coin, I also know that that pressure can sometimes be nauseating and can lean more toward this perfectionistic mentality that if we don't perform perfectly, quote unquote, or completely in these arenas, then we somehow lose our worth. And that kind of pressure that is tied to worth is due to shame and fear. And this isn't like godly fear. This is Satan, in my opinion. This is something that is evil, that's degrading, that's unkind, that distracts us from the souls and the children of God that we actually are. That negative pressure to, well, if you don't do this, then you therefore must be dark and evil and wrong. If you don't live up to this kind of standard, then you're cast off. If you don't, you know, reach this particular ideal, then we're going to like disown you, even if we say we aren't. Like, that kind of pressure is not helpful. And I don't think it's helpful even for the person that's putting on the pressure. Neither, obviously, is it for the person who's receiving the pressure. In fact, it's very manipulative. And tactics like these are unrighteously employed to manipulate or control individuals within our religious communities. Unfortunately, we are dealing with a lot of imperfect people in and outside of the church. And so this does happen. The good part of this is that you have the choice. you can say no. You can raise your voice. You can decide how you're going to teach your children. Are you going to operate off of positive pressure, or are you going to operate off of manipulative and negative pressure for this type of performance? Which one of these actually is what you feel God is? And then what do you want to believe about who God is, and how can you implement that version of God in your life and in your loved ones' lives? Lastly, I want to highlight that there's an impact on mental health, that misuse of pressure, and we've heard both good and bad here, can contribute to more anxiety, guilt, shame, fear, and all of those impact our mental well-being. If we are truly to be Zion, one in heart and mind, it would be obvious that we'd want to cultivate pressure that is good, that is healthy, that is more like lifting the weights and less like abuse. And that starts with us. So listen and pay attention to how you're speaking to yourself. What do you tell yourself about how, you know, who you are as a person, who you are in your relationships, who you are in your family of origin? How are you speaking about yourself and to yourself? And oftentimes those are the same messages that you're going to then put out to the world, whether they're conscious or unconscious. Dr. Edward M. Hallowell has a great quote about fear. Chronic fear holds more people back in life than any other mental infirmity. Isn't that sad? This idea of fear chronically coming up and up and up, that we're not going to be good enough, we're not going to live up to it, we're not going to be able to reach the standard, et cetera, over and over and over again, whether it's pressure put on ourselves or by other people or by society or by a church or by a family, that creates more unsuccess than most other feelings. And yet sometimes we feel like putting more pressure on ourselves is the only way that we're going to get to the end. So what can we do for ourselves? Well, I just came up with a few coping strategies that might help for ADHDers: mindfulness and relaxation techniques. If we can start to see, like I've already mentioned before, exercise, breath work, meditation, maybe if you can get into that, counteract the negative pressure with mindfulness and relaxation. So if something is coming up, let's say that there's a difficult financial situation in your family, giving into the pressure of, oh, I got to go find more money, I got to go cut back, I got to go sell some things, I got to do all these things all at once, is not going to help you think in your clearest mind. So then we turn to mindfulness and relaxation. That could be the scriptures, that could be prayer, that could be yoga, that could be taking deep breaths, that could be going on a walk and paying close attention to the rising and the falling of your breath. All of those relaxation practices are now facilitating what emotions? Creativity, positivity, trust, faith. These are emotions that can help us attune ourselves to divinity and be more as who we are, and remind ourselves that we are not alone, that it's not the end of the world. And from that creative sphere, with maybe some positive pressure, we are then able to accomplish tasks, or able to find solutions to our problems. Another coping strategy is structured environments. Establishing structured environments helps manage positive pressure effectively. If you don't have any structure, if you're just a free-for-all every day, then how will you know if you're going to go to sleep or wake up? How do you know if your body's going to actually get nutrition when it needs it? How do you know if you're actually going to get that email sent or not? Having some structure to your weeks or to your days are nice little benchmarks, nice little road signs where we can come in and check in and reevaluate and learn to trust ourselves as we're continuing through life with ADHD. Another coping strategy is self-compassion. I've already talked a bit about this one. It happens to be one of my very favorites. How are we talking to ourselves? How are we encouraging self-compassion? How is that helping us mitigate the impact of negative pressure on ourselves, on our kids, on self-esteem in general? Self-compassion allows us to be imperfect, and it also announces to the world, hello, you're human, and allows other to have permission to put themselves out there, not from negative pressure, but from curiosity and creativity and all these other things that we've put out there. Pressure is going to come up. Okay, balancing isn't my favorite word, but recognizing that we will feel negative pressure and we will feel positive pressure, and learning how to be in the driver's seat when these emotions come up is essential. With ADHD, it's a little bit harder because ADHD in the prefrontal cortex, in the regulation center, is often not driving well. They're driving pretty recklessly. However, when we know that we can put things, like I've mentioned before, into place so that when those things happen, when the dysregulation happens, when the negative pressure comes, that we have a plan, we have a mindfulness activity, we have a structure, we have a support system, we have a group of people that understand whatever it might be, we have a coach, we have a therapist we can go to, then it helps us put trust in positive pressure. It helps us rely upon our other emotions to get things done instead of beating ourselves into the ground in order to accomplish. We as a faith community should strive for righteous and compassionate use of pressure, fostering growth and spiritual development through our most beautiful and godlike attributes. Positive pressure leads to more self-discipline, more self-understanding, and compassion. It leads to more growth, and negative pressure does exactly the opposite. Thank you so much for being with me today. Know that I love you, and I am always cheering you on. Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at the Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.